Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. Well, amen. Amen. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Amen. I thank God for his encouragement of his word. And so we need to always remember, encourage yourself. When nobody else do it for you, you got to encourage yourself. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Give us a prayer, Sister Paige. We want to get started.
We thank you for your many blessings you bestowed upon our lives today. You woke us up this morning, closing our right mind, help us strengthen our bodies. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your love, your peace, your joy, and for being our hope today. When there's no hope, Lord, you are our hope. We just thank you, Lord, for this Bible study on tonight. May you be blessed and bless those that are listening. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for being God Almighty, all power. In your hand, you have given us the power, Lord, to resist the devil, and you will free from us. Thank you for your blood, and you shed it on the tree, Lord. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for being gentle, through gentleness, your long suffering. We just thank you for being God and for loving us so much. You gave your son. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Thank God for that prayer. Amen. Thank all of y'all for joining in tonight, tuning in. Amen. Sister Bryant, may you be blessed. May you be blessed tonight. Amen. May God continue to heal you. May God continue to lift you up. May God continue to strengthen you. And may he ever be with you. And so you be blessed tonight. And thank all of the rest of you who are on tonight. Amen. So I just want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. God has been good. And we need to learn how to give God some thanks sometimes, you know, just when you look back over your life and you see where he brought you from and see all the things that could have happened, but it didn't happen. You got something to be thankful for. Amen. You know, a lot of us sometimes we look around and say, you know, back in the day we could have had AIDS. And all that, because you know what we was doing. We wasn't doing it right, you know. But God spared us, amen. You know, we didn't know too much. We knew about protection, but we wasn't using it. But thank God that God was protecting us. Anything could have happened.
Amen.
And so we don't think about little stuff like that, that the thing that God did for us, we don't think about stuff. You know, you could have got caught, but you didn't get caught, you know. I mean, a lot of stuff we did that we knew wasn't right. And we know something bad or dangerous could have happened from it, but we did it anyway, you know. Yeah, you know, we could have overdosed on drugs, you know. A lot of little stuff we did could have died from that stuff.
Amen.
And now, you know, we can't even thank God for that. Amen. I don't know what's wrong with us sometimes that we can't look back and realize that it was God that was with us all the time. Amen. And that you wasn't here. You didn't do that on your own. You didn't get to where you got to. Now on your own.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. And we got to give God some glory. You know, even if you're saved or you're unsaved, you still got to give it some glory.
Amen.
Amen. When we come back to realize just who God is, amen. Hallelujah. Thank God. Amen. Tonight, amen, I'm going to talk about, amen, the presence of God. Amen.
Amen.
Being in God's presence. Amen. And sometimes we say there's a difference in it, amen, of being in God's presence, and people don't understand, and then they don't get to know God or get to see God, amen.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. I know we have it sometimes. You don't have to leave, Sister Paige, but sometimes I read.
I
can keep going like that. Psalm chapter 95, if you turn to Psalm chapter 95 right quick, I want to talk about the presence of God. The presence of God, and what we need to be doing now is getting in the presence of God. Amen. What we need to be doing now, we need to be seeking God, you know, for the thing that's coming and the thing that is at hand. I want to be seeking God. I want to be in God's presence. Amen. Because if we're not in God's presence, then we can be destroyed for not being in his presence. Amen. Praise God. It says, let us come. Psalm 95, verse 2. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with song. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Is that all right? Let us come before his presence. And that is the thing we need to be seeking in this hour. We want to get in the presence of God. And when we come before God to get in his presence, sometimes we have to come with our, they say that our hand lifted up and our mouth to be filled with praise. Amen. Giving thanks to the God what he's done. And because God dwell in the midst of praise. Amen. And because God dwells in the midst of praise, we need to be giving him some praise. And when we give God praise, he'll come down in the presence of that praise. Amen. And so if you want to get into the presence of God in these last days, amen, we got to have the presence of God in order to see the glory of God. Amen. You see, we can't seek. When you're seeking the presence of God, you're seeking, you have to realize we're seeking God's face. See, God's face is his presence. If we're going to see God's face, you got to get in his presence. In other words, he hides himself from the fools, and he hides himself from those who don't seek him. And he stay hid, but for those that seek him, he reveals himself in his presence. Amen. And that is why we as the people of God, we're supposed to be in the presence of God at all times, because this is where your fears is released. Amen. This is where your doubt drops down when you get in his presence. You know God is there. Amen. You know God is with you. And when you know God is present, because see, a lot of times people mistake God, his presence. Amen. Psalm chapter 139. Now, Psalm 139 talks about his presence. Amen. Amen. Psalm 139, amen, talks about God's presence tonight. Y'all go with me. You can go look at Psalm 139. If I don't take time to read it all, you can read it by yourself. But here is the psalmist talking about God's presence. And it says that it's a psalm of David, amen. And Psalm 139, verse 7 says, whether shall I go from your spirit, or whether shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. And if I make my bed in hell, behold, you're there too, amen. If I take my wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hands lead me, and thy right hand shall take hold of me. I don't know what sometimes, but God's everywhere. See, this is why we talk about God, that God is everywhere. He's in every place. There's nowhere you can't go that God can't meet you. I don't care where you are. You can be in the belly of the whale, and God can meet you in the belly of the whale. I believe that's what Jonah said, out of the belly of the whale, I cried, and the Lord heard me and delivered me. So no matter where you are, this is what we call God's presence. It's everywhere. This is why God can be everywhere at the same time. This is why God feels to hold heaven and the earth, because what? He's everywhere. There's nowhere that God is not. Amen. There's no place, amen, that you can go that God is not there. And so we have to recognize God's presence. And everybody that's living on earth have to recognize God's presence. He's present at all times. He's present at all times. But this is what we call here, I call this omnipresent. He's omnipresent. That's what God is. He's omnipresent. That means he can be everywhere at the same time. He fills the whole heaven and the earth, amen. But when you say he's omnipresent, amen, that's one thing in saying that he's here, he's there. Amen. And Jonah 1:10 say that, I believe, that Jonah tried to get away from the presence of God. Amen. He tried to run from the presence of God. But the question comes to be, where can you go and where can you hide from God's presence? That ain't no way you can go. I know in the last days here, during the times, some people are going to be trying to hide their face from the presence of God, but there won't be nowhere you can hide. I used to think about the old stories that my mother used to tell me about. You're going to run to the mountain, and the mountain going to say you can't hide. And you're going to try to go in the cave, and the cave going to tell you you can't hide. And nowhere you want to go, you're going to be able to hide. So it's time now that for us to get things right in the sight of God. It's time for us now to correct ourselves and get right before God, because we know when that day comes, there won't be anywhere you can hide, because God is omnipresent. God is omnipresent. And we all experience the omnipresence of God. Everybody experienced, even a sinner experienced the omnipresence of God. Amen. And everybody in the world experienced the omnipresence of God. And you got to recognize that God is everywhere. They experience, this is why everybody experienced some of God's love. God, they experienced God's love everywhere, because God is everywhere. Love is everywhere. Peace is everywhere. Everything God is everywhere. But there's sometimes God likes to do things a little different. Amen. It's okay. It's okay to believe that he's present. It's okay to believe that he's a God. And there's nothing wrong with believing that he's a God. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Amen. It's okay to believe that he's omnipresent. Nothing wrong with that. But that is not what the saints of God is supposed to be. The saints of God don't want to just be in the omnipresent God. The saints of God want to be in the revealed presence of God. You see, there's a omnipresent, and then there's a revealed presence. Amen. And that's what we have to recognize, that are you just in the omnipresence of God, are you into the revealed presence of God? And that is why we're seeking God these last days, because we don't want to just be in the omnipresence of God, because everybody gets to experience the omnipresence of God, but everybody don't get to experience the revealed presence of God, where God revealed himself. Amen. Hallelujah. If you turn to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 3, verse 19, I believe, where it is. Amen. In other words, it's time to get saved. Amen. Don't think you're going to escape God's wrath. Don't think you're going to escape God's judgment. Amen. Don't think you're going to be able to get away from it, because no matter where you are, he's here. But the saints of God don't just want to be in the omnipresence, because we all get to experience that. Let me prove to you that, amen. That. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. I believe that's where it's at. Hallelujah. Now I want to talk about your presence. I'm talking about the presence of God, because people get God misunderstood. Amen. I'm talking about the presence of God. Acts 3, chapter 19. Amen. And this is what God tells us to do if you want to experience this. You see, we all experience the omnipresence, but if you want to experience, amen, the revealed presence of God, when God revealed himself, this is the time God said, I'm here. I'm right here. Amen. I'm with you right now. I'm right beside you. And see, God wants you to always be assured that he's right there beside that. Even though I'm everywhere, but I can be right there with you. I can be in the car with you. I can be in the bed with you right now. Amen. Right. But when I get in the bed with you, I want you to know that I am with you no matter where you go. Don't get into fear. Don't fret, because I'm with you wherever you go. Amen. Acts 3, verse 19. Amen. Hallelujah. Acts 3 and 19 says, repent. And one of the things that we have to come back in these last days, repent. Now we think about repent to mean change your mind, amen, about what you was thinking. Change your mind. Change your attitude about what you was thinking, amen. We need to get this thing right, because you want to be in God's revealed, amen, presence, amen. All right. Amen. Amen. Repent you therefore and be converted. Be converted. When God said be converted, be changed over. Come on, we need to repent. Amen. If you've been doing it the wrong way, you need to start doing right now. Amen. Amen. If you laid aside and haven't accepted Jesus as your Savior, and you haven't been filled with the Holy Ghost right now, you already know that's something you're supposed to do. Amen. I don't care what preacher told you and what preacher preached to you. One thing the preacher always preached, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins. So if you haven't been baptized in the name of Jesus, amen, the Lord Jesus, amen, for remission of your sins, then you haven't gotten baptized right. You need to repent of that and change your mind, because I hope somewhere down the line I want to show you something. If God gives me time tonight, I want to show you something that maybe you haven't seen before, because God hasn't revealed himself in that manner, in that way. So God wants to reveal himself to you, but you got to repent the way you've been thinking and get back to the way the word, what the word says, and start thinking like the word thinks, so that God can reveal himself to you. Repent, therefore, amen, and be converted, that your sin might be blotted out, when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. In other words, God said you can expect a refreshing. When you repent and get it right, you can expect a reward from the Lord. In other words, he's going to shower you with his presence. His presence is going to come on you, amen. And I know you got the Holy Ghost now, amen. And you say, well, I got the Holy Ghost. Well, yeah, the Holy Ghost is a presence, amen. But at the same time that God said, I got a presence coming, and I want you to be involved in it. But first, you got to get your heart right, get your mind right, get your soul right, because I want to show you something that you've never seen before. I want to reveal myself to you. And every time you see, this is where your cares fall off when you get in his presence, amen. This is when all your worry leaves, when you get in his presence, amen. This is when you get encouraged, when you're in his presence. But most of the time, we don't worship God and we don't seek God, so we don't ever get to experience God, amen. And God wants us to not just know him, but to experience him. There's a lot of people know of him, but they haven't experienced God yet. And so therefore, God has to reveal himself, amen. He has a revealed presence, amen. Praise God. A revealed presence. He wants to reveal himself. And God is always revealing himself. You see, there is God that is present, but there's a revealed presence. I guess when you get into the book of Daniel, amen, you see where the Hebrew boys was in the fire. They was in the fire, yes? They was in the fire. And the Lord revealed himself that he was present with them in the fire. But with God, you see, if you're not in the presence of God, amen, and walking in God's presence, then you're not walking in revelation, you're not walking in understanding, you're just living. But here he says, repent so that the presence come from the Lord, amen. 3:19, amen. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which was before preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the time of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophet since the world began. He said, the time of refreshing, what? I'm going to send Jesus. But if you don't recognize Jesus when he comes, then you want to miss his presence. Even though his presence might be there, but you can miss it, because if you're not looking for something to come, then when it comes, you won't see it unless you're expecting it to come. So God wants to reveal himself to his people. Amen. So he tells us we got to get repentant. We got to get things right. Amen. If we're gonna experience his presence. Amen. Acts chapter 17. Amen. Got to repent. I know everybody keep on doing the same thing they're doing, and everybody keep going the same way they're going. They're not listening. They're not paying any attention. They just think, well, you know, I'm gonna die anyway. I don't need. I'm going to die anyway, so, you know, what's the difference? I'll take the mark. I'm going to die anyway. But, you know, people are kind of foolish, you know, because they haven't experienced God's presence. Amen. Actually, Acts chapter, I think it's 17. Let me make sure. 17, verse 27 and 28. Notice what it says here. Amen. 17, amen. I start at verse 26, amen. And he has made one blood for all nations of men to dwell on all the face of the earth. We all one blood. And has determined the time before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him. Amen. Praise God. You know, you know, I heard Aretha Franklin say, give me something I can feel sometime, amen. But it's a lot of times God says you might feel after him, amen. It's good to be in the presence of God that you can, not only you can't hug him, amen, you can't put your arms around it, but sometimes God just wants, when his presence shows up sometimes, it gives you a feeling that he's there, hallelujah. Sometimes your body shakes, sometimes tears come up in your eyes because, you know, when the tears come in, your body has a feeling that something is taking place on the inside of you. And see, God not only wants you to just, amen, be in his omnipresence, but he wants to reveal himself to you in a way that you know, that you know, that you know God has touched you in a way. God wants you to know for sure that he's not just omnipresent, but he also can be in his manifested presence right there with you. Amen. I know the Bible said we don't walk by feeling. We will walk by faith and not by feeling. But sometime you want a touch from God. Amen. Praise God. This is why we should get down before him and cry out before God. It's because not only do you just want to talk a lot, but you want his presence to come upon you. You can also feel God. I don't know about you, but has any of y'all experienced the feeling of God? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Where that, amen. You don't know what it was that came upon you, amen, but you felt something, amen. Hallelujah. Come on now, you felt something, amen. And all of a sudden when you felt something, amen, tears came in your eyes. You couldn't put your hand on it, you couldn't touch it, amen. But you felt something. You said, happily that you might feel after him. I'm going for a presence, amen. And we all should want to experience the presence of God, that to know God, not just he's omnipresent, but he's revealed presence. See, that's the difference between the revealed and the omni, amen. Everybody partakes in the omni, but God wants us to partake of his revealed presence. There's a revealed presence, amen, where he says, I'm here. I'm right there with you, amen. And this is why we need to get busy about seeking God right now, and whatever it takes, amen, that we get in the presence of God. We want to walk in the presence of God and to be in the presence of God. Because one thing about God's presence, amen, God's presence can either save you or destroy you. See, everybody don't realize that it's his presence, his revealed presence, it'll save you or to kill you. I believe somebody said it, if you fight against the rock, it'll destroy you, but if you fall on the rock, it'll save you. It's the same way with God's presence. And see, most of us, the reason we don't get to talk to Jesus face to face because we don't get in his presence. See, God wants to have a direct personal relationship with us where he talks to us face to face. And when you get in the face of God, you get in the presence of God. And that is what we should be seeking out after, not just to walk upright, amen, but to have God's present with you at all times. Now, we know he's with us, amen. We know that he's with us because those of you who have the Holy Ghost, we know he's there, amen. But God goes beyond just knowing he's there. God wants you to have an experience with him. But you got to clean yourself up first. You got to repent. Because right here, he says, amen, let me slow down a little bit, amen. Hallelujah. 17:27-29. Amen. That they should seek after the Lord, and happily they might feel after him and find him. And find him. In other words, we want to find God. And when we find God, what we're going to do, we're going to find his presence. When God's presence come upon you, usually you done found God. When you pray until there's a presence come, you done found God, because now he's revealing himself to you through his presence. Hallelujah. I want to be in God's presence. I know I got the Holy Ghost. I know he's in me. Amen. That is no doubt that he's in me. The Holy Ghost revealed to me that he's in me. Hallelujah. But I don't just want him to know he's in me. I want to experience the God that is on the inside of me. And so what God wants us to do, to experience him, not just get to talk about him, but to experience him.
Amen.
Huh? We need to have an experience with God. Most of us been saved, some of us been saved all of our life, and we haven't had experience with God. Huh? All of your life, amen, you haven't had experience with God. Hallelujah. You just You just had his omnipresence, amen. And you never had an experience. And these are the people that get to know God. The people who experience God get to know God. He said, happy you might find it, though he be not very far from us. So we should seek after him, that he's not far from us. For in him we move and live and move and have our beings. As certain of your own prophet have said, for we are his offspring, amen. For in him we move and have our beings, amen, for we are his offspring. You see, the omnipresence of God, see, that's why I say we all experience the omnipresence, because every time you breathe in, that's God, amen, because that's God's presence, because God is like the wind, amen. Every time you take a breath, God is just like the wind, amen. Every time your heart beats, in other words, your heart is not beating on its own, amen. There's something causing your heart to beat. See, that's God's presence, amen. Amen. You know you can take your heart out and still live, amen. You know, they can put a pump in you these days and you can still live, amen. But that's because God's presence is continually in your life. God rewards all man with this. He rewards all mankind with this, because that shows he loves all of us. It's not that he don't love us, and even those who are lost, and even those who don't think about it, he still allows them to experience his omnipresence, because that's just who he is. He loves us enough to experience his omnipresence, but everybody don't get to experience his revealed presence. And see, this is where we want to go. We want to experience his revealed presence. Now, on the day of Pentecost, amen. See, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost fell, Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Ghost fell. See, that was the day when the Holy Ghost fell, they got to experience God's revealed presence. When the Bible talks about Acts chapter 2, amen, and 4. See, God is talking about something that took place to reveal himself. They wanted to know, had God come? Had Jesus came back? Well, when he said, well, Jesus didn't come back, the Holy Ghost came back. Well, didn't Jesus come back? Hallelujah. That was to let them know, my presence is with you now. Acts chapter 2 and 4 talks about, you know, on that day, they appeared unto them cloven tongue, like as a fire, and set upon each one of them. And they all were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. See, that was a manifested presence. See, God was manifesting his presence there. And everybody don't realize that God manifests his presence to say that I'm right here. In other words, Peter and them knew right then, because of that manifestation, God showed them that he was there. Now, even with you, if you want to be saved and everything, that God manifested his presence when you get the Holy Ghost. That's God manifesting himself to let you know what? I'm here. I'm here. See, now a lot of people believe that he's here, but there are others, amen, they believe that he's with them, but God always manifests himself to show that he's with you. He always does something so that you would know that he's with you. You would know, amen, you got it. You would know God is saying, I'm here now. I'm not just everywhere, but I'm right now, I'm living in you. I'm living in you right now. Praise God. You see, that is the life that comes on the inside of you to live, and everybody needs that life on the inside of you, because now you know that God is with you, because he has manifested himself to you. See, you got to know, you got to experience a presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And see, that is what's wrong with the church today. There's something wrong with the church. Amen. Everybody got a big mouth, like me, got a big mouth. Amen. Everybody doing all kinds of talking. Amen. But even out of all the talking that they're doing, they're still not experiencing anything. Even though they got the Holy Ghost, there's no experience. They talk about how big they are and who they are, but no manifestation, no manifestation. Amen. I'm tired of just talking. Amen. I'm tired of just talking. I want to see something. I want to see something. I want God manifested presence to be seen in me, because that is the whole purpose of God in the first place. He wanted his manifested presence to be seen in his people, but we don't understand the manifested purpose. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. Listen to what Paul said here. Listen to what Paul said now. He knew about the omnipresent, but notice what Paul said in verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in words only, but also in power. See, the power is the manifested presence of God. Hallelujah. And so we want to operate in the manifested presence of God. That is why we should be seeking God. That's why we should fast. If it takes fasting to get it, if it takes a prayer. Jesus did say some things come by fasting and prayer, but if we're going to walk in the manifested presence of God, it's going to come by some fasting and prayer, because we don't want to be just giving words out, but we want something to take place. Do you understand what I'm saying about getting into the presence? To see, everybody just wish and think and hope and all that. But God said, no, I want to do more than that for you, amen. I want you to seek me until my presence come upon you and you walk in my presence. Isn't that what Jesus did? The first thing Jesus did, amen. Yeah, when John baptized him, he got the Holy Ghost. He said, yeah, I got the Holy Ghost now, yeah. And then the next thing he did, he went out into the wilderness to seek God's presence. And when he stayed in the wilderness, he didn't come back until, not that he just had the presence, amen, but the presence had come upon him, amen. The presence was upon him. He was walking in the presence of God. And that is why Jesus could always say, amen, I only do what I see my Father do. In other words, he was here in heaven, but he was here on the earth, but God was revealing himself on the earth from heaven, because Jesus walked and lived in the presence of God. And so God said, I want my people to live and walk in my presence. I want you to be aware that I'm with you at all times, and then you'll be able to do signs, wonders, and miracles when you realize that my presence is upon you, not just all around you. And see, Jesus was the manifested presence of God. That's who Jesus was. Everybody didn't know. Everybody didn't know it. Everybody didn't see it. Everybody didn't understand it, that Jesus was the manifested presence of God. That's who he is. That's who he was at the time. He was God manifested in the flesh. Amen. So he wants to manifest that to you and show it to you. He wants you to get to know him. Somebody said, he wants to know you in a special way, amen. He wants to know you in a special way. But here it says that the gospel came not in power, but in the Holy Ghost and much assurance. In other words, God manifested presence is your assurance. This is how you know. This is how you know. This is how you know that God is with you, amen, because he gave you his spirit. This is how you know you're going to resurrect from the dead, because God gave his spirit, amen. This is how you know, amen, praise God, that you're partakers with him, because what? God gave you his spirit, amen. And so God wants you to walk in his presence so he can be as real with you as he was with Adam in the beginning. He wants it where that he can come down and talk to you in the cool of the day. He wants to have a conversation with you all the time. But he said, you got to seek my face. Not seek my hand, but seek my face. See, a lot of times we're seeking what we can get out of God, amen. Well, Lord, give me a car, Lord. Give me. But the first thing that God says to us, I mean, get my presence first. Seek the kingdom first. Seek me first. Seek me while I might be found. Call upon me while I'm near. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous his soul. Let him do away with those things. And so now God's calling us into his presence, that we got to clean ourselves up. We got to get ourselves together. We got to repent of a lot of stuff, because the reason we are not seeing God is because of what we're doing and what we're not doing. It's time now for his presence, amen. And so right here he's telling us, amen, not just in word, but I want to have the power. Is anybody want the power now? Aren't you tired of preaching, amen, and then, you know, nobody getting the Holy Ghost? You preaching your heart out. Ain't nobody got the Holy Ghost, amen. I mean, you praying your heart out, and ain't nobody got healed, amen. You've been doing all this stuff all the time, but we know it's the presence of God in you that makes the difference. So that's the difference between the those that are not and those who are. Those that are not, amen, praise God. that that's nothing happened. Those who are, this thing taking place. So I don't want to be one that's nothing just happening anymore. I want his presence. I don't just want to honor my presence because he's going to give me that anyway. I don't have to do anything really to get that. He's just going to do that for everybody. But in order to get the revealed presence of God, that's going to take some fasting, amen. It's going to take some praying, amen. It's going to take some speaking in tongues, amen, or whatever it is that you got to do. But I do what's necessary that I might get in his presence. This is where we fall short at because we're not serious enough anymore. Things haven't got hard enough yet, but it's going to get hard after a while. Don't worry. Amen. It's going to get tough after a while. Amen. Right now, we haven't enough taken place yet in order for us to get serious about it, see. And that is part of the problem right now. It's because we're going to need the presence of God, amen. It's the presence of God, amen, going to give you a drink of water when you need it. It's the presence of God that'll feed you when you're hungry, amen. It's the presence of God that'll give you life, amen. It's the presence of God that will give you life when you're sad. It's the presence of God that'll give you some joy. It'll pull you full of joy and peace. It's the presence of God that gives you peace. You see, when you get peace, that's God revealing himself to you. So I want you to know I'm peace. Abraham saw him. He revealed himself to Abraham as Jehovah Jireh. I'm a provider. So God can reveal himself in any way that in form of shape that he wants to and still remain God. See, that is the problem that people have missed all the time, that God can reveal himself or manifest himself any way that he wants to and still remain God. And see, that is what most people have not thought about. That is what most of the time we don't know. See, this is how we get to know God. This is why we're still walking in the dark, amen. We still don't know who Jesus is, amen. We're still blind, amen, because it's the presence of God that gives you life, amen. It causes the glory to be seen when we get in his presence. You see, this is why we still arguing over the Bible about what's what, because, you know, we haven't got in the presence yet, and we can't see anything unless you get in God's presence. This is when things just open up to you. Amen? Hallelujah. I was just thinking and looking at it. Amen. Well, when I look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it becomes you got to get in the presence of God in order to see God. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. He said, and without controversy, and without controversy, without argument, you know, we just get into argument. We see God, two or three gods, and four or five gods, and we get in an argument about it, amen. We fussing about it. And because, you see, the glory of God lifts the veil, lifts the scales off the eyes, amen. See, the thing about it, we can't see him because the veil covers our eyes, amen. And when you get in his presence, amen, he'll take the veil off. He takes the veil off. So he said, without controversy, great is the mystery of God, for God was manifested in the flesh. And who did he say was manifested there? It didn't say Jesus was manifested there, but it did say God was manifested. See, God can manifest himself in a man and still remain God. He don't even have to move out of his place. He still feels the heaven and the earth, but yet he can be in a man. He can be in a person right there at that time. At that time, he was God in the flesh, but everybody couldn't see him because they were looking at the flesh. And they wasn't looking at the spirit that was on the inside of him. And so, therefore, they missed God because they didn't get in the presence of God because, you know, unless you get into the presence of God, you can't see beyond the veil. Hebrews chapter 9 talks about the veil was his flesh, and people can't get past his flesh. See, people that can't get past the flesh of God, amen, can't experience the glory of God. They still want to look at the flesh. But it said, great is the mystery. In other words, it was a mystery. It was something that was hid. And God only revealed it to those who got in his presence. Huh? And see, there's a lot of things hid in a mystery to us. But we haven't seen it yet because we're not in his presence. We won't get in his presence to see things that we need to see. But God was manifested in the flesh. Who was it now? Who was that was manifested? I thought that was Jesus was manifested, but it said that was what? Jesus was manifested, but at the same time, he said that was God doing the manifestation through Jesus. God was manifested in the flesh. Now here it is right here, amen. It says God now. I mean, you can take it the way you want to take it, but it says God was manifested in the flesh. Amen. He was justified by the Spirit. Yeah, the Spirit made things right when he was raised up and resurrected. It was the Spirit that raised him up, amen. It was the Spirit that was doing great works, how to heal the sick, raising the dead, opening the blind eyes. It was the Spirit that was working for him that gave him the justification for who he was, but that he was still God, and yet he was being manifested in a man. See, when we get in the presence of God, you begin to see God. Now, he was justified in the Spirit, seen of angels. Well, this was the first time the angels got to see him. And I thought the angels lived in the presence of God. I thought the angel was up there with him. Amen. Hallelujah. And so the angel should have already known this thing. You mean he had to come down here and reveal himself in a man before the angels could see him? Do you think that's what it was? Because I wouldn't have said he was seen of angels, because I would have thought it'd be because the angel was in heaven with him. They should have already known and already seen him, amen. It shouldn't have been no strange thing to them. But he was seen of angels here on the earth. God was. See, that is the manifested presence of God. God saw him. He was manifested in the flesh. Amen. Seen of angels. Preach. Well, wait a minute. The Bible said he preached to the Gentile. So, well, wait a minute. Was that God preaching to the Gentile? Or who was that preaching to the Gentile? Amen. Was that God preaching? Well, God, was that you? See, he was manifested himself. See, that's why we miss God, because we don't see his manifestation. We don't get to experience his manifestation. Hallelujah. You can't see right because you're still looking at something that you shouldn't see. Amen. It's because the veil is not off your eyes, and the only way you get to see God, you got to take the veil off your eyes. He was manifested in the flesh, preached unto Gentiles. He was believed on in the world. Well, yeah. And he received up in glory. Now wait a minute now. How is it that God can say he was received up? See, what it was, you see, his manifestation, he came down, amen, in the form of a man, and he put on, and when he died, he put on another body, amen, and he went back to where he came from, amen, and the same God is coming back again, and they said, all eyes is going to see him, but it's going to have to be a manifestation in order for you to see him. See, God has always wanted to make himself known, but because of the veil, we couldn't see him, so he had to manifest himself to us. This is what's going on today. He's manifesting himself to us. Hallelujah. But can we see that? That was God, amen. Everybody don't want to say, well, he was somebody else. But God can manifest himself any way he wants to, in anything he wants to, in anybody he wants to, and still remain God. Hallelujah. You see, a lot of times we don't get to see those things is because the veil is still upon our eyes and we can't see. And the only way you can see, hallelujah, you got to get in his presence to be able to see. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 5. Let's look at Matthew chapter 5 right quick. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're going to see who is it that can see God. Who is it that can see God? Who can see God? Hallelujah. Who is it that can see God? What is that? Matthew 5 and what, Becky? Is it 5 and 20? Matthew 5 and 8, Jan. That's where. Matthew 5 and 8. See, you want to see him. You want him to manifest himself, to reveal himself. Amen. Not just be omnipresent. Amen. You want to be in that presence. Amen. Matthew 5 and 8. What does it say there? Matthew 5 and 8. Somebody got that already? Amen. You didn't have to leave. Matthew 5 and 8. It said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see. In other words, God said, when your heart get pure, I'm going to manifest myself to you. I'm going to manifest yourself to you. Hallelujah. When your heart get right. See, most of the time our heart isn't right before God because we still doubt his word, amen. We doubt who he is, amen. And therefore, your heart ain't right toward God. So one thing we got to do, we got to get our heart right in order to see God. Your heart got to be pure. It got to be clean. You got to be untarnished. Is that a good word? Mm-hmm. Untarnished, amen. Your heart got to be untarnished, amen. You can't walk around in hatred and hating everybody. Amen. That means your heart messed up, amen. You're not going to get to see God. You still walk around hating your brother and hating your husband and hating your wife, amen, and got your nose turned up at somebody. Amen. Always angry, always mad. Your heart ain't right. Amen. Your heart ain't right. You talk about you seeing God and you still angry and you still upset and you still somebody did something to you 30 years ago and you're still mad about it. You ain't calling nobody, won't talk to nobody. How are you going to see God in that condition? Because it says, blessed are the what? Pure in heart. For they are the one going to be rewarded, amen. They're going to be the one that the manifestation is going to take place in their life. And God is going to reveal himself to the one, only the one that is what? Pure in heart, amen.
Amen.
Those are the only ones you get to see. And see, the reason the people haven't got the Jesus hasn't manifested itself to so many of us because we haven't got our heart right yet.
Amen.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. We haven't got our heart right. And God wants us to get our heart right because that is the sole purpose. Because what does it say now? He said, if we're going to have any type of expectation to be rewarded from God, we got to start working on our heart, then God will pull the veil back and let you see something. Because what? He hides himself from the fools and the unlearned and the fools, amen, and those who say they don't believe in a God, amen, and those who won't obey the word, he hides himself from them, amen. They won't have an experience with God, but they still being rebellious. See, one of the reasons that we don't sin, no, a lot of people say, well, you shouldn't sin because you don't want to go to hell. That shouldn't be the reason that you shouldn't sin. The reason you shouldn't sin is because you want to see God.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
You want to see God. The reason you shouldn't do those things is because you want to see God. Huh? Just live right so you can be saved. No, you're already saved, amen, but you want to see God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And you want to see God face in peace too, don't you? Amen?
Amen.
Huh? You don't live right to be saved. We're saved by grace.
Thank you.
Huh? We're saved by grace. They say it's a gift to you. Amen? That's what it says. It's a gift. If something is a gift to me, it means I didn't work for it.
Right.
It means God gave it to me. Amen? Hallelujah?
Amen.
But even though God gave me the gift, amen, by grace, amen, in order for me to see God, I still got to do what's necessary so that I can see him. Even though he gave me the gift, but I still want to see him. Amen. So I'm living right because I am saved, not to be saved. Amen. I'm doing what I do it because I am. Amen. Hallelujah. God does what he do because what? He am. Is he am? Hallelujah. He said, I am. Amen. I do what I do because I am. Amen. So that's who I am. That's how I manifest myself. But if you're going to be saved, your heart got to be pure. You can't be sitting there resisting the word of God and think you're going to make an end. I ain't going to say make an end. You're thinking that you're going to see him.
Right.
Because he said, for blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Amen. Huh? And so that's what God wants us all to understand. We got to get our heart pure. How do you get your heart pure?
Amen.
Amen. Turn to the book of Proverbs. Becky said, how to get your heart pure. Turn to the book of Proverbs. Amen. One thing that God tells us to do. Now, we know when he get to David, what did God say? When God got ready to choose David so he could make David king, amen. And he revealed a lot of stuff to David because what? David's heart was pure, amen.
Mm-hmm.
He was anointed because he got to experience God in a better way.
Right.
What does it say? Who? How does that song go? Who can do something a better way? How's that? Somebody got that song. Proverbs 4:23. One thing we got to do here, one of the main things that we have to do as children of God in these last, not only last day, we ought to be doing it all the time. Proverbs 4 and verse 23, Sister Page, or is before 20. Turn over there and see. Proverbs 4:23. Because we're going to know we got to get our heart pure before God, because he wants us to live in his revealed presence. Amen. Well, what is that? Keep your heart. Keep your heart. This is how we're going to see God. What do we got to do? Do everything necessary that I can keep my heart right. I ain't going to let nobody get me too upset and get me off course and get me to have stuff flying out my mouth. If whatever coming out of my mouth, amen, that's what's in my heart. If you cussing and everything, still cussing, if that's in your heart, you need to get rid of that stuff. You want to be in, you can't get in God's presence with that stuff in you.
That's
you can't
right.
really get in God's presence with sin presence, amen. But if you get in the presence of God, God's fire will burn that stuff out of you, amen. If you want to get rid of that stuff, you just get in the presence of God. It'll burn that stuff up, amen.
Amen.
Read on. What did it say now, Sister Page?
For out of it are all the issues of life.
He said what?
For out of it are all the issues of life.
Amen. For out of it is the issues of life. So I've got to keep my heart pure if I'm going to see God.
With all diligence,
with everything I can do, I'm going to be diligent, amen. And everything that I do to keep my heart right. I ain't going to let you upset me anywhere. But where I'm going to be angry and upset at you. Well, whatever I've done, whatever you did to me, it's all right. I forgive you. I'm going to keep on moving. Because what? I want to keep my heart right, amen. And I got to keep my heart. See, one thing I got to do what's necessary to keep my heart right, because I want to be in the revealed, amen, or the manifested presence of God. Let me call it manifested presence, amen. I want to be in the manifested presence of God, not just the omnipresent. There's a difference between the omnipresent and the manifested presence, and the people of God ought to want to live in the manifested presence of God. So what did I do? Keep your what?
Heart.
Keep your heart diligent. Do everything you can. Get rid of some more attitudes. Amen?
Yeah,
because that's where your life comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Keep your heart with all diligence. Was that 4:20 or
4:23?
Amen. Praise God. What else does it say? Proverbs 4, whatever you start reading.
For out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a forward mouth.
Put away from you a forward mouth if you're going to get to see God. If you're going to get in God's presence. If he's going to manifest himself to you. Put away, you know how we call it on smart mouth. You know how you smart mouth sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You just say things because you feel like it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then put away. Put away that forward mouth. Get rid of that. Stop talking back at your husband, amen. Treat your husband right. Amen. Your deceitful mouth. You're always saying something smart.
Amen.
Amen. Get rid of that stuff. That ain't a pure heart. I'm not talking to you, Sister Paige. I'm not talking to you, babe. You know, praise God. Don't think I'm talking to you. Go ahead.
Pastor, does it work what you're saying, man? You better rush what you're saying. You better rush it.
I wouldn't talk to her, dude. You know I wouldn't talk to her. She reading though. I'm not reading that. She reading that. Read on, Sister Page.
And the eyes look right on.
Jesus said, watch your eyes. Now, because, you know, what you see can mess up your heart. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
This is how you have a pure heart, so you can see God, so he can manifest himself to you. Amen. He cut up my heart.
Glory to God.
I don't know what hit me. Something. I felt something. Like he said, "Name my Akayari." Yeah, I felt.
Come
something.
On,
I'm feeling after me, man. I can feel something. Thank God,
yeah.
I can feel something, man. When I talk about the Word of God, I get to feeling something because of His presence, amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Read on, sister.
Let the eyelids look straight before
you. Keep your eyes. Stop looking around, amen. If necessary, put you some blinders all on so you won't see all that stuff. Because that stuff can mess your heart up. Got to watch what kind of movies we watch sometimes. That mess your heart up. Amen. Put lust in your heart. Hallelujah. And sin and God can't dwell in the same place, amen. And so I got to get that stuff out of my heart, amen. What else? Hannah, watch where you go. Hannah, think about it. Before you do something, start thinking about it before you do it. Because what? I want to be in the manifesting presence, amen. And I know he can't manifest himself to me with a lot of junk in me, amen. Huh?
Amen.
I don't want to be like other people, amen. I got to change my attitude about things, amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. See, one thing, though, the Bible says, whatever you sow is what you reap, amen, amen.
Right.
So, you know, if I sow some good deeds, amen, some good deeds will reap some good habits, amen.
Mm-hmm.
And if I have some good habit, amen, good habit reaps good character, amen. And if I have good character, amen, good character calls me to achieve. In other words, I can have it, amen. It calls you to achieve good habits, good character. It calls you to achieve. But my heart got to be right. Because when I come to God, if my heart is not right, hallelujah, God won't hear me, amen. Hmm? He'll hear me when I repent, but he won't hear me or what I'm asking for because my heart is not right. Because if your heart ain't right, you can't receive a lot of things. He won't even help you understand a lot of things till your heart did right. So our problem is a lot of us, our heart hasn't got right to be able to see.
Mm-hmm.
Because blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see.
Exactly.
Is that right? Huh?
That's
right. Well, what else does it say there, Sister Paige?
And let all thy ways be established.
And let your ways be established, amen. Amen. Let all your ways be established according to the word, because it's the word that establishes you, amen. But what Psalms 119 says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you, amen.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to let the word establish my heart. I'm going to do what the word said do. I'm going to do it the way the word said do it, amen. I'm not going to be rebellious in heart because, in other words, when I get in rebellion, that means my heart is not right before God and God can't let me see some things that I want to see. Hmm? Praise God. He can't manifest himself to me because my heart ain't right.
Hmm?
He can't put you in a position yet because your heart ain't right yet. You got your mouth right, but your heart ain't right. You're saying the right thing, but you're not doing the right things. Amen. Huh? Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Read on, Sister Paige. Amen.
Turn
back to the right hand,
go to the left.
Don't turn right or left, but what?
Remove your feet from evil.
Remove your feet from evil because if God's going to manifest it, I got to move my foot from evil.
Amen.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Now let the word do the talking, amen. Let the word do the talking, amen.
Amen.
Why are you in Proverbs? Go on over to 27, Proverbs 27 and some. Y'all, wait a minute. Go to Proverbs 27. I don't know what verse like that, but I go to Proverbs 27. Everybody know that scripture. What's that scripture, Valerie? 27 and 17. Somebody know it. No. 27 and 7 then, amen. What's 27 say? I'm talking about the manifested present now. We got to get the manifest. But this is why we're not getting it. Proverbs 27 and verse 7.
Full soul, loaf it, and honeycomb.
Ah, nah. I'm a submissive to the page. Proverbs 23 and 7 then. There's one of them
7. Proverbs.
I know.
As a man thinking in his heart.
Oh, okay.
As a man thinking in his heart. That's what I'm looking for.
Oh, it's time to go.
As a man thinking it up, because I want to, why am I doing this now? I'm getting my heart right because I want to manifest the presence of God. 23 and 7, I think that's what it was. No, yeah. What did I say? Proverbs 23 and 7, I think that's what it is. Is that right, somebody?
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. He said that's right. Amen. Hey, go and read that for me, brother, right quick.
For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he.
So as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you got to realize that our thoughts, your thoughts control your attitudes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Your attitude controls your actions.
Yeah.
Huh? That's why you do things, because it's what comes out of your heart. Your thoughts control your attitude. Your attitude controls your action. Amen?
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
And so if my heart is right, my action is going to be right. If my heart is right, my attitude is going to be right. Amen? So if my attitude is not right, that means something wrong with my heart somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So are you
with you?
Huh?
You're right.
As I think, because everything comes through the thought process.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Amen.
Hallelujah. See, before you can have something, you got to think it first.
Uh-huh.
Before you do it, in a way, you got to think about it, amen. You know, I'll be sitting here and be lazy, amen, and know I need to go out there and rake them leaves up.
You sure do.
But my mind don't be thinking that. I think about it, but I don't do it. Amen. So now the leaves is piling up on the outside because I thought about it, but I didn't take action on my thoughts.
Uh-huh.
See, a lot of times we think about it, but we don't take action on our thoughts, and therefore nothing get accomplished. And so if we're going to have some action, we always say faith without work, faith without work. See, we don't get to see God if we don't act on what he told us to act on.
That's right.
You got to get in the thought first in order for you to do it, amen. Because as a man thinks, so he becomes. Now, the Bible tells us now we can't have the thoughts of the world and the thoughts of God going together, amen.
Uh-huh.
I think that's Romans chapter 12 and 2 or something like that, amen. What does that say, Sister Faye?
Be not conformed.
Know what? I can't conform my thinking to the way the world thinks. Amen. I got to conform my thinking to the way God thinks. And then when I get my actions together, amen, when I get my actions together or my thoughts together, my attitude's going to change. And my attitude's going to change. My habits going to change. And amen. And then if I get in the habit of doing something that is right, then I'll reap my destiny. Amen. When my mind gets changed, amen, because I can't see God, because even though God is revealing himself to me, I can't see God is because I got some other thoughts in the way blocking me and stopping me from seeing what God has revealed to me.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
They couldn't accept Jesus because of the way they was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's just a man, just flesh, ain't nobody.
Uh-huh.
But they didn't look at the works that Jesus was doing. That should have been, the manifested works that Jesus did should have been enough to reveal to them who he was by the works that he did.
Uh-huh.
People should know who you are by the works you do.
Uh-huh.
Amen. Yeah.
They ought to know who you are by what you say and what comes out of your mouth. Sometimes you can't tell the difference.
Yeah.
They ought to know who you are because of the meek and quiet attitude and meek and quiet spirit that you have. They ought to know. You got an angry spirit, you need to work on your heart. You can't put up with nobody, you need to work on your heart. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so you can really see, amen.
Amen.
Huh? And so what God says, if he's going to manifest himself to you and reveal himself to you, your heart got to be right.
That's right.
Not the online presence. You're going to have that anyway. Huh?
Yeah.
Every time you go to sleep and you're sitting there snoring, amen. When you're sitting there snoring, amen. He's manifesting himself right there that he's omnipresent. Because you wouldn't be able to snore unless he gave you some breath, amen. And the devil
that's
ain't
right.
Giving you snoring, the devil trying to cut your breath off.
Yeah, that's right.
The devil tried to kill you in your sleep.
That's right.
I got to hurry up. I got to hurry up. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Hey, but what I'm trying to say, we got to be in the manifested presence of God, not just the omnipresence. So we got to get our hearts right.
Manifest,
Lord
God.
Right. Hallelujah. Get your heart right. Amen. It's time to get our hearts right because the Lord is coming soon. And if and then when God's coming back, he know what he's coming back to judge?
Uh-huh.
He come back to judge your heart.
Uh-huh.
No.
Hmm?
No.
He's not really coming back to judge your flesh. He's coming back to judge your heart.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Paul in Romans chapter 7, he said, well, with my mind, I'm going to serve the law of God. I'm going to keep my heart right, amen. And then no matter what else I did, I'm going to keep my heart right, amen. No matter what he did to me, I'm going to keep my heart right, amen. I'm going to think right toward him regardless of what he did. I'm going to forgive him for what he did in the past because my heart got to be right. I'm not going to keep holding something he did 50 years ago that he don't do no more.
Right.
And I'm still sitting there mad and angry with him or something or her or whoever it is, you know, that he did 50 years ago. Amen.
Yeah.
You know how we get. He cheated on me 50 years ago. Amen.
Kevin Legend.
And you still sitting there pouting over that stuff and gonna keep your heart and stay mean as a junkyard dog, amen, and gonna go to hell because of what somebody else did. Huh? You should have left me, Sister Faith. Don't hold that against me. Amen.
That's right.
She said that might be holding it against me. Well, you slept with her. You slept with her. Yeah, you slept with it. Look at that baby you got over there. Amen. You were cheating on me. Well, you got to forgive me for it. If I did it, you got to forgive me for it. And you can't even make it to heaven if you don't.
That's right. Forgiveness is the only thing to give.
Oh, Jesus.
I got to quit. Amen. He said, I'm picking on her, amen. but you really got to tell her that, amen.
Yeah.
You can't make it in. Your heart not right with God. And you won't forgive me for what I did and all that junk you did. God forgave you for it, amen. Come on.
He sure did.
Huh? All that stuff you did and God forgave you and I did something, you can't forgive me. How is your heart right when you can't do that? Well, he said this about me. She said that about me. And I ain't going to talk to him no more. I can't stand him. Amen. Your heart ain't right. I want to see Jesus. Amen. I want to see God. Amen.
Yes.
I want him to manifest himself to me in a way that he hasn't manifested himself before. I need some knowledge that I need to get into the secret place, amen. There's a secret place where God reveals things to you. And I want to get in that secret place, amen, with him. Hallelujah. Where he's going to talk to me face to face, amen. Hallelujah. See, we don't have to wait till a lot of times we want to wait till we get to heaven to experience God. Well, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing it will be.
Uh-huh.
When we all see Jesus, we're going to shout and praise him for the victory.
Uh-huh.
Well, what about your earthly experience before you get to heaven?
Yeah.
Thy kingdom come.
That.
Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth or on earth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can see Jesus here on earth if you get a heart right. You can experience Jesus right here on earth if your heart get right, amen. You can see Jesus right here on earth if your heart gets wide, you don't have to wait till you get to heaven. See, we always putting things future bound when God said it's now. I can be here right now because I dwell in time and out of time at the same time.
Yeah.
Somebody's heart ain't right tonight, amen. You want to see Jesus. I know you're dwelling in the omnipresence, amen. We all get to partake of his omnipresence.
Yeah, glory to God.
But we don't all get to experience his manifested presence.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
That's right.
Huh? God wants us to experience his manifested presence here on earth, not when we
That's
get to
right.
heaven. And we've been all putting things future tense.
That's a good scripture, Pastor.
What is that good scripture, babe?
Proverbs 23:26. My son, give me thy heart.
No. Listen, what Becca, Sister Paige found this scripture, amen. This is not my scripture. This is her scripture. Come on, Sister Paige.
Proverbs 23:26 says, my son, give me thy heart.
My son, give me your heart.
And let thy eyes observe my ways.
And let your eyes observe my ways. And what else?
You
talk about the whorish woman lay them down. Leave them whorish women alone and whorish men, amen. Leave them alone because you won't see God, amen. You can't commit adultery and fornication and all that and still going to see God in peace in a way, amen. I didn't get to that tonight, but praise God. Is there somebody got to want to be saved? You got a prayer request, got a report, anything you like to say, but we won't. To be in God manifested presence. We don't. Say something, somebody, anybody, before we go. We got to go.
Hey, Pastor Paige?
Yes.
Yeah, this is Daryl. I just want to give thanks to the Lord for keeping me safe through the week. I'm halfway through the week. I'm
Amen.
Out of my normal area. I'm actually on terminal assistance, so I'm up in Newburgh, New York.
Oh, wow.
Just in the terminal out here. It's only 160 miles. I drove up last Sunday. But it's all good. I'm in a hotel that's working out, and these roads are a little more mountainy than my area, but God is bringing me through. I'm in a young brother up here. I don't know how old he is. He's young. Yeah, but I'm 60. Everybody's young to me. but he's seeking the Lord. And, you know, he's a new convert. He's only a month in. And when I first met him, you know, he was talking some weird stuff, man. He was talking about, he's a white kid. And he's talking about Africa and how we're all from Africa. And, a little misguided there. I think he's got some false information or misguided information. But because he was talking about eating raw meat and how that brings spirituality and stuff. But through it all, God is guiding him right. And, you know, God uses people and puts people in places for a specific reason. And what I'm starting to feel, really from that first night is God orchestrated this just for me to talk to him, you know, because when we're talking and it's a lot that he doesn't know and it's a lot that, you know, he's opening up to. But I think he's receiving what I'm saying to him. And some of this is so basic, you know, it's like what we learn in Sunday school when we're kids. But he's receiving this new information to him. And
hey,
he's talking about learning about other religions. Like, as a military person, you say, yes, I want to know my enemy, study my enemy. I want to learn his ways, how he thinks. But as God's children, I told him, no, all we know is Jesus. We don't need to indulge in this because the Bible actually says don't indulge in any of their teachings or anything. We don't need to learn about this. We don't need to learn about what demon spirits is out there because Jesus already defeated them. They're done. All we know we need to learn about is Christ Jesus and to follow him. That's all we need. Everything else has already been handled 2,000 years ago on the cross.
Amen.
He doesn't even know a lot of things he didn't know, like about when Jesus was executed. He didn't understand. He didn't know about how the Romans put a troop to guard the tomb. And, you know, for anybody else that doesn't know, Roman soldiers trained for 5 years. If they fall asleep on duty, they get crucified. That's a death sentence.
That's right.
If they are
right.
defeated, if they are defeated in battle, they are expected to fight and die for the honor of Rome. And the only one that escaped is the one that sent away to get help. Other than that, they're supposed to fight and die.
Fight and death.
So for them to go as they were ordered, it's all explained in the Bible very clearly. They were ordered to go out and say, oh, the disciples came and overpowered us and took his body, you know, which was obviously a lie. And anybody that knows a Roman, you're going to live freely and walk around saying, oh, yeah, the disciples came and took the body from us. No, you would be executed.
That's right.
You would be dead. So that doesn't happen. But, you know, I explained how a sleep fell on them, and the angels opened the tombs. The angels didn't raise him. He had already risen. They opened the tomb for everybody to see that he has risen because the tomb was sealed with the seal of Rome. So nobody could open that seal. And then you had a troop. Now, how many was in that troop, I don't really know. But I know it was commanded by a captain. And when I think of a military captain, he's commanding a company. That's at least 110 men. I don't know how it worked back then with the Romans, but that's enough to put up a pretty big fight. And ain't no 12 disciples going to defeat no Roman troop.
Amen.
And he needed to know all this stuff. He needed to know that Jesus went to hell and took, because a lot of people miss the fact that when God kicked Satan out of heaven, he said, there's your kingdom. He gave him the earth and let him reign here. So Satan had complete control over the earth. And now God then took it back. And Jesus went into hell, took the keys of life and death, so the keys of the kingdom, took everything from Satan but his lying tongue. That's all he got, his lying tongue. And he's the father of lies. He lied to, what is it, a third of the angels? Because he had to know that he didn't want to be like the Most High. He wanted to be the Most High. But he had to know he himself was created by the Most High, and there was no way he could be the Most High.
Mm-hmm.
So what did he do? Lied to himself. But those fallen angels that follow him, they wanted to believe the lie. And this is what I'm seeing. It boils down to me in such basic things like people say, oh, this woman tricked me. She took advantage of me. You wanted to be deceived. All the signs was there telling you this woman or vice versa, this man was no good. You wanted to be deceived. When the enemy comes out here today trying to deceive Christians and all, trying to say, oh, no, it's okay for this, or homosexuals, okay, you want to be deceived. That's the only way he could do it. You're rejecting the truth when you do that. The Bible specifically speaks about this. They say, oh, in the Bible there's nothing against homosexuality. Well, that's a lie right there. A big lie. He's a homosexual. He names it all.
Amen.
They say the things that they say. They lying on the word of God. And that's why people need to open their Bibles and read for themselves. And this internet Bible, like even I use my cell phone Bible. Grandma used to say years ago, we need our own Bibles, written print Bibles, because they're going to change it. And this is serious. And this is what's happening today. Right now, you get to, I think it's the NIV. That's openly saying, well, we're taking stuff out of the Bible because we don't think it needs to be there. How dare they? You know what I mean?
Amen.
But this is all what's going to happen. And with this internet Bible, they could change it at will. When you think you learn one scripture, if you don't have that scripture in your heart and you look for an internet Bible, you ain't no telling what you're going to get. That's why my grandma said the old Bibles, you need to hold on to them. Don't never throw them away. I don't care how torn up it is. She said, you hold on to that Bible. And I see grandma was right about a lot of things. But anyway, you know, talking to this kid, I think God put me here for a reason. And I think that reason may have just been to make him understand all he needs is Jesus and to learn about Jesus, and that's it. He doesn't
Amen.
Need to learn about anything else but Christ Jesus. And I thank the Lord
Amen.
For this journey. I thank the Lord for everything. If that was my purpose in coming here, Lord, please let it be that I fulfilled.
Hallelujah.
If not, Lord, I'm still working on it, and I'm trying to do more. And I thank you, Jesus, for our
Amen. Well, praise God. I know it's time. Amen. Hallelujah. Time is passing by. Amen. In a prayer request, we want to pray. And I believe that God's presence is always here. Somebody need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Yeah. That's the problem.
Yes, sir.
Pray for me. Still waiting on that Holy Spirit to come up on me.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Pray that God manifests himself unto me in that way.
Anybody else don't have the Holy Ghost? Amen. We're going to pray for you too. Amen. Praise God. You got the seed in you. You got the seed in you. You just want the seed to come up. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
If you receive the word of God, you got the seed, the word of God. And God guarantees that word is going to come up. That seed is going to come up. Huh?
Yes, Lord.
Yeah, that's
Amen.
The word of God. He guaranteed that seed to come up. Once it's planted in your heart, it'll come up. It will produce. Amen. Well, Father God, thank you for my brother tonight, Lord. I just thank you. Lord, open up his eyes. Let him see, Lord. Let him have a manifested. Let him have a manifested presence of your presence, oh Lord, by filling him with the Holy Spirit tonight. Lord, I'm asking you to come upon him. Lord, you said you will manifest yourself in a dream sometime, even in a vision of the night, oh Lord. And you make yourself known unto mankind. And I want to thank you tonight, Lord, for
thank
filling
you,
him with the Spirit. Feel my
Hallelujah.
Brother, Lord. Feel my sister, Lord, that's never experienced you, Lord. I'm asking, Lord, that they have an experience with you, Lord, tonight, Lord. And, Lord, that you would move upon them, that they would know, Lord, that you're with them. And, Lord, that they would know, Lord Jesus, your presence is with them, Lord. You're there to will and to of your good pleasure, Lord. Fill them with your presence tonight, Lord.
Yes,
and
Lord.
I want to thank you for filling my brothers and sisters and healing all those that are sick, Lord, and relieve those in any kind of pain tonight, Lord. I come against the pain in the name of Jesus. And I command
yes,
it to be moved. Hallelujah. Be cast into the sea, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for mending the heart that is broken, Lord, that broken heart that's been broken for a long time, Lord. Mend that heart tonight, Lord. Put it back together, Lord. You are the heart fixer and a mind regulator, Lord. Regulate their hearts and regulate their mind tonight, Lord. I'm asking you to meet in the hearts of the people, Lord. Let there be a spirit of forgiveness in their heart, Lord, that they might forgive their sister, they might forgive their brothers, Lord. And the wife might forgive her husband, and the husband forgive their wives, oh Lord. That we might come together, Lord, and purify our hearts, that our hearts might be clean, Lord, that we might be able to see you. And not only see you, but see you in peace.
Yes,
and Lord,
Lord,
I give you praise tonight, Lord, for blessing my sisters and
thank
brothers.
You, Lord.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
You,
amen.
Lord.
We thank you. We thank y'all for tuning in. We don't want to hold you too long tonight. I usually try to be gone by now. But thank God that don't forget about Friday tonight. We got the salt of the earth on this same number at 5 o'clock. Amen. She's been putting out a good message. Amen. Hallelujah. And she's been having prayer through the night. Sometimes you want to join in prayer. And they've been having prayer in the midnight hour. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you might want to talk to her and join in for prayer sometime at 5 o'clock. She'll be on 5 o'clock on Friday afternoon. Amen. At 5 o'clock our time. And I guess that's 3 o'clock California time, the salt of the earth, Sister Alexandra. You got Minister Ray, amen, be on every morning, 8:30 our time. I think it's 6:30 California time. Amen. You can come join in with him. It's 120-110-69-POUND. You can join Minister Ray every morning. You can join me every day, Monday through Friday, on the Holy Ghost Prayer Line.
God's been moving. People have been getting the Holy Ghost. People have been being delivered. So people have been set free. Hallelujah. God's just been moving. Amen. And
amen.
So you can join me.
Hallelujah.
892020 at 10 o'clock. Amen. We use on 10 to about 12. Amen. Sometimes a little later than that. Depends on how the Spirit moves. Amen. But you can join up. You can get off when you get on, get ready to. Nobody's going to hold you on and make you stay. You can come in 10 o'clock our time, 8 o'clock California time. Amen. That's 319-2020 pound. Everybody know the first number, 774 number. Amen. So I thank y'all for tuning in tonight. Amen. Minister Ray tonight at 9 o'clock. Is that 9 o'clock? 9 o'clock, 120-11069 pound. Y'all can join him tonight at 9 o'clock. Amen. Praise God. Now, we're going to be dismissed. I thank y'all for tuning in. Brother Prevost, Elder Prevost. Amen. You still got something going on Sundays, Wednesday, Tuesday?
I'm going to be on tomorrow night. Tomorrow night at 5:30 hour time.
Okay.
Tomorrow night at what time?
5:30
tomorrow night. What? 9:30, 5:30.
5:30.
5:30. Oh, 5:30. All right. Minister Prevost there. Elder Prevost to be on tomorrow at 5:30. That's 299-299-774 number. You can join Minister Prevost. So thank God that the word is somebody saying something about the Lord all over the land. Amen. And so whatever word you preach, you're preaching. If you're preaching about Jesus, you're preaching the truth because Jesus is the truth. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I thought that's what he said anyway. Let's see. All right, let me see. Now to him that is able. No, I got 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Amen. Because they, hallelujah. And the very God of peace sanctifies you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. For faithful is he that called it you, who also will do it. As we dismiss from this line tonight, from never from God's presence, may praise and honor and glory be in Jesus' name. Let everybody just say amen. I see y'all Sunday, 11 o'clock, or I see y'all, what time is it? All right, that's all right. I'll see y'all Sunday. Amen. I'm getting younger. I'm getting younger by the minute. Thank the Lord. 11
o'clock Sunday.
11 o'clock Sunday. Praise God. Praise God. Amen.
He leads me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. When you become a believer, your spirit is made right. Sometimes, the soul doesn't get the notice. It has a hole in it due to things that's happened in the past, hurt, abuse, molestation. But we want to speak to you today and tell you that God wants to heal the hole in your soul. Some people's actions are not because their spirit is wrong, but it's because the past has left a hole in their soul. May this wisdom help you get over your past and remind you that God wants to heal the hole in your soul. I have my sister, Leandria, here. She's going to help me share this wisdom and tell this story.
Lord, deliver me. Cause all I seem to do is hurt me, hurt me. Lord, deliver me. Cause all
yes, sir.
and my background sin. God, rescue me from myself, from my overthinking. If you're listening out there, just repeat after me if you're struggling with your past and say, let the Lord know. Just say, He wants to restore your soul. Leave my faith, turn from their wicked ways. I will hear from heaven. Break it on down. So it is. It is so. Amen. Now when we pray, we want to end that with a declaration, a decree. So I'm speaking for all of you listening, starting here, starting now. The things that hurt you in the past won't control your future. Starting now, this is a new day. This is your exodus. You are officially released. Now sing it for me, Leandria.